Hi, I'm Marilyn Sue, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And for today, I am at ease with my body and my food, for which I am eternally grateful to all of you. The other way I like to introduce myself is, hi, I'm Marilyn Sue. And when it comes to food, I am strangely insane. And I get that from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, because, and it's from the Jaywalker story. And it is on page 36. And this is the line I like. It says, however intelligent we may be in other respects, and of course I thought I was when I got here, where food has been involved, we have been strangely insane. It's strong language, but isn't it true? So I have had a long, strange road to recovery that abstinence and recovery have wound themselves together. So I'll tell you a little about it, how I got here. I got here from another recovery program. And when I finally was able to tell that sponsor what was going on with my eating, such as I was stealing food from patients, I was stealing food from my kids, I was daydreaming of becoming a diabetic or having gallbladder disease. Those were the ways I went to sleep at night. I went to sleep at night always promising myself that it would be different the next day, kind of a disease step 10, and it never was. By breakfast the next day, it was the same old, same old. And so when I confessed all of this to my sponsor in another program, she basically told me that was the craziest damn thing she had ever heard of about food, and that she had nothing. And she said, in that particular program, they didn't give a damn how I ate, because it was none of their business because of tradition 10. They had no opinion on the way I ate or I didn't eat. And so she told me if I needed to do something about my eating, I needed to turn myself into Overeaters Anonymous, because OA would be probably the only place that I could go that would confront the lies I believed about food. About that time, I met a woman who was in our program, and she and I were going through the same kind of crisis thing, and we had been doing it for a while. And I knew she was an Overeaters Anonymous. I knew she was abstinent. And of course, I watched her, because my eating was up and down like a yo-yo. And everything about me was all disturbed because of this crisis. And she remained serene. She didn't gain tons of weight. She was calm. And for me, that's the embodiment of Tradition 11. So between Tradition 10 and Tradition 11, and me just being crazy as hell with food, I started my program on December the 30th, 1985. That was today, and this is my favorite visual of getting abstinent, and it comes from page 325 of the Big Book. And the question is, when he asked me why I had avoided recovery, I told him it was because I didn't know if I had hit bottom. Somehow he didn't laugh, but he said, "You hit bottom when you stop digging." So on December the 30th of 1985, I put down the shovel. Did not like it. Went to a meeting that very night with my sponsor. We kind of did a fourth step in a way. We made a list of all the foods I binged on. And I made a commitment for one damn day not to eat them. Since that time, when I sponsor someone, I also ask them to make a list of all the foods they binge on. And then I also ask them to make a list of all the foods that they can eat with joy that does not trigger the obsession. Because one of the things about me is that I can get in to deprivation so easily. And I can begin to believe, oh my God, there's nothing I can eat. Everything has been taken away from me. And I went through that for a long time. Well, since I got here, on December 30th, my first holiday was the next day, December 31st. And I was crazy in love with someone. And we were going to a party. And I called my sponsor, how can I do this? And her instructions to me was, you go buy yourself a can of diet soda. And you walk in there, you carry that diet soda with you all damn night, except when you're actually eating something that's on your food plan. So if anyone says, hey, girl, do you want this? You can say, no, I'm drinking this. So that will, and sit away from the food. Don't sit there with it in your face. So that was my first holiday. And, you know, my craziness did not go away. I was just stark raving crazy for at least a year. I can remember Easter not knowing how I could get by without bunnies. And by that time, I was thinking that I wanted maybe to marry this man, but I knew I could not because I didn't eat sugar. Therefore, there could be no wedding cake. And if there is no wedding cake, there can be no wedding. That's who I was. Gradually, it began to change. And there were some really, really hard days. Lots of stubbornness. Well, I was pretty crazy. One of the coping mechanisms that I used was that I would promise myself that just for this damn day, I would stick with my food plan. I would call my sponsor. I would tell her what the hell I was going to eat. And by George, I would stick to it. But if it was this damn bad tomorrow, I would go to the airport and I would fly to Hershey, Pennsylvania, and I would slurp up the whole damn town. But just for this one freaking day, I would stay in St. Louis and I would honor my food plan. And that honoring that food plan, it didn't matter how crazy I was. It didn't matter how angry I was. It began to teach me that I could trust myself, that I could trust my world, and that other people could too. That it will, that food in other people's homes, especially the people I loved, suddenly became safe. They didn't have to worry about mom coming over and stealing their food. That was that beginning of abstinence and relationships and recovery, how they kind of joined together. Other things that were helpful in the beginning, listening to my sponsor was probably number one. But one of the things that she said that would make it easier, because I was always into making it easier, was that if I didn't watch as much television, she told me that, you know, I was going to two or three meetings a week. And she said, so about 3 hours a week, you're hearing the lies you believe about food confronted. But when you watch television every hour, at some point you are going to be told that love comes from the oven or the refrigerator. And in 15 minutes from that, you're going to be told that whatever it was you ate from the oven and from the refrigerator, you can lose 50 pounds over this weekend. And damn it, you're going to want to believe both of those. So you would be better off not watching as much television. So I got so I didn't watch as much television. I was really lucky. I lived in a park about 8 houses off from where I lived. So I started my days in the park. And that's where I met my spiritual source. I met my spiritual source where there were trees, abundance of trees. And how I began to connect with that was as I would walk in the park season after season, I began to see both change and constancy. And that became my spiritual source. My spiritual source would always be there, would be constant. And as I change, my relationship with that spiritual source would also change. So those were the beginning steps of this. And then, of course, I did the steps. And the step that really challenged me, well, they all did, but the step that challenged me the most were the ones that mentioned God, because I don't have a traditional view of God, you know, trees. And how I had to work around the God word was I stopped step three with the word care. So every day I make a commitment. Just for this day, I will turn my life and my will over to care. Self-care, care of others. And I will review my day or plan my day and look at the interactions I am anticipating. And I will ask myself, how can I be in caring relationship with these people, with this activity? Knowing that different days, different people, care will look different, but like the trees, there is both the constancy and the change. And sometimes care looks like, hell no, I won't. Because what I have learned is when I say no to inappropriate request, I am saying yes to Marilyn Sue. And today it is really important for me to say yes to Marilyn Sue. So celebrating the holidays, celebrating this life that I have been given, that you all have immensely given me as well. What does it look like? It looks like joy. It looks like, you know, one of the things I love about the big book is the steps are suggested. You know, when we do chapter 12, these are the steps that are suggested. And there is one absolute in the big book. I think it's the only sentence with the word absolute in it. And it is on page 132. It's right in the middle of the page. And it says, we absolutely insist on enjoying life. Not suggested, it is an absolute. So every day I show up, every day I connect with care, I connect with my food plan, I get to experience this thing called joy. I get to also honor myself. And this is one of my favorite pages in For Today. January 29, to be nobody but myself in a world which is doing its best night and day to make me everybody else means to fight the hardest battle which any human being can fight and never stop fighting. E.E. Cummings. And I'm getting to know myself. I no longer have to borrow from other people a way of thinking, looking, or being. I am accepted for what I am, and I, in turn, can accept myself. I can be spontaneous. I can reach out and be close to others. Even when I am alone, I am in touch with myself. I am not lonely. To have the courage to be me, to accept myself without glossing over the truth. These are the goals to which the program has given me. Today, in accepting myself, I accept God's will for me today. Only through self-acceptance can I be able to change. So for today, because of the gift you all have given me, an abstinence, I truly am at ease with my body and my food. Everything I eat, I enjoy. And I love my life, and it is hard sometimes. So I want to end with my very favorite quote from OA literature. And it is, every day I live well, I am well. And thanks to all of you, I am living my wildest dreams. Thank you.